Welcome to Upstream, a source of ideas and encouragement for courageous bishops, pastors, priests, seminarians, and the people who support and work for them. People who are swimming against the currents of an increasingly hostile worldly culture to bring Jesus to that world. I'm Pat Lencioni. I'm joined by two guests, Father John Ricardo. How are you doing, Father?
I'm doing great, Pat.
Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. And Chris Jensen, who we've had on a couple times. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, Pat? It's great to be here.
I know you don't want me to do this, Chris, but there's something different about you than the last time you were on our podcast. What is that?
Well, I have started dyeing my beard. No, I'm just kidding. I have not done that. I have joined the Catholic Church, since last time. I told you before, I think we were close. So
Yeah, you talked to us about your view of the Catholic Church from an outsider's perspective. We've known each other for years. You met Father John Ricardo years ago too, and you have become Catholic. Praise God. Praise
Thank
God.
Thank you.
Thank you to all the priests. Thank you to all the priests out there who have influenced you and reached out to you on behalf of Jesus. So
absolutely. And this time you've brought me because of all of my deep knowledge of the Catholic Church and all my extensive experience. So
in our lead up in this conversation, Chris said, well, I've been a Catholic for 4 weeks now, so let me tell you how this works. But we also agreed that you probably see things clearly as a result of that. So it's great to have you here. So our topic today is the 2-minute fix for Christmas Mass. Now, of course, we like that title because you can't fix the Mass. Mass does not need to be fixed. And we asked Father John if we were allowed to say that. And we thought, yeah, that might provoke some people to thought. But we are going to talk about something you can do at Christmas Mass, which is about a week away, without any preparation, that could make it so powerful for some of the people that are there. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And let me tell you how this idea came up. I was watching a YouTube video the other day. I was scrolling on YouTube and I saw this thing that said, is the whole world becoming Catholic? And I think that's what it was called. We're going to put it in the show notes because I want people to see this. And it was this young, handsome guy who's a Protestant, an evangelical, who said, why are all these people I know, famous people he knows, becoming Catholic? He even said a lot of men were joining the Catholic Church. And he is a Protestant, an evangelical. And he said, there's something going on. People are really drawn to the Mass and to the depth of the sacraments. And he was reflecting on his evangelical church, where one of his non-believing friends attended and said, that's just a rock concert or a TED Talk. And he said, you know, I think he's right. It feels too much like a rock concert or a TED Talk. I'm looking for something deeper. It seems like all these other people are looking for something deeper. And this Christmas, there are going to be people coming to your churches, fathers, who are looking for something deeper, who may be Catholic or fallen away Catholics or non-Catholic or even mass attending Catholics who have never really understood the depth of the Catholic Church. And what we want to talk to you about is how in 2 minutes, with very little preparation, you might be able to do something that transforms that Mass experience for those people that are there who don't understand the beauty and the depth of Mass and the Eucharist and the Catholic faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today, a 2-minute hack, if you will, a 2-minute adjustment you can make to the Mass. All right, Father John, you are here because you have a lot of ideas around this, and you're going to make sure that we don't say something that's heretical or not allowed at the Mass, right?
I'll do my best.
Okay. Keep us on the straight and narrow.
I'll try.
All righty. So what we're talking about here is this. Before, and Father, you've already adjusted this for me, because I said, how come right before you lift up the host on the consecration and the cup, we don't stop? And you go, well, there's rubrics around what we say. These are the words of Christ. We don't just get to jump in and change things. And we know that and respect that. But you said before the liturgy of the Eucharist, you can stop and say to people, here is what is about to happen. So tell us a little bit about how you might do that, Father. And just riff right now, like, what could you say to somebody in a very short period of time to prepare them for what's about to happen?
So I'd say there's three places you can do that, actually. So, and I still think it's 2 minutes, but maybe it's three.
Okay.
I think mindful of, so I know your concern here, especially given the fact that at a Christmas Mass, much like an Easter Mass, most parishes are going to be I don't know about overflowing, but they're going to have a large percentage of people who have been invited there by family, friends, who either have never been to Mass or haven't been to Mass in a long time. And so that, you know, the Mass is not intuitive. And so you quickly feel, it's almost like going to someone else's Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
It's like, I don't understand what you guys are doing. What are you doing here? So if you don't regularly go to Mass, and actually even if you do regularly go to Mass, you don't understand everything. Therefore, especially at this time of year, isn't it worth considering at opportune times saying something to help people feel at home? And I think you could do that at three times, at least, before we start, where you can just welcome everybody, extend a huge invitation, because the church isn't usually known for being really welcoming.
Right.
Right.
I think most priests, Father, do that part. We've learned to go, welcome everybody. You know, I don't think there's too many priests, and I could be wrong. Usually when I go to Christmas Mass, wherever I am in the country or wherever, whoever I'm with, most times they say, hey, we're really glad you're here. So that's a good one. But I think you're right. At the beginning, to not do that would seem to be crazy.
But I don't think, I'm not saying like after we've come in for the opening prayer. I'm saying before we start Mass. I'm talking about before we actually sing the song, just to come out into the sanctuary. And on behalf of our whole parish family here, I really want to welcome you to Mass. And I want to explain a couple of things for you, for those of you who are not used to coming to Mass or who've never been to Mass. First, just to say it's a joy to have you here. We're really thrilled that you're with us. Then something really quick. You can do this in 20 seconds, 30 seconds on the Mass. For those of you who are not familiar, it's got two primary parts. The first part, God's going to speak to us in His Word. And that's really important to understand because it's not just the retelling of events that happened a long time ago. He wants to talk to us now. And so I want to invite you to be attentive and to hear, to ask the Lord, help me to hear what you want to say to me. Because a bunch of us are probably rather anxious right now. And He wants to calm the anxiety. And then the second part of the Mass, the God who speaks to us, He's going to do something spectacular, scandalous actually. He's going to give Himself to us, hidden under the appearance of bread and wine. And He does that because He loves us and He wants to unite Himself to us. You can do something as simple as that. I mean, you can go, you can do whatever you want with that, but that's my thought.
Well, I love that, Father. I think that's fantastic. And there might be priests out there going, could you say that again? Or can you write that down? And you can transcribe this. Or they might be, I don't know if I'm good at that. So I love what you just did. I love that. And I would encourage every priest to consider doing that in their own words in a way, or to even to use your words. That's beautiful. Okay, so that's one thing. That's a new thing that you've just added to what we're talking about here, but I love that. So at the very beginning, and give them the anticipation, there's two parts of this, and that's beautiful. So way to go. Second thing.
Second part would be right after the opening prayer, we're all sitting down. I stay standing, and I just encourage everybody, the Lord's about to speak to us. This is not reading Scripture. The Word of God is being proclaimed to us, and to me and you personally. And so let's ask the Holy Spirit to open our ears to hear what it is He wants to say. Sit down. Boom. There you go.
And that's something you could do at every single Mass.
Absolutely.
But at Christmas Mass, it's particularly important.
Yep. Exactly.
Love it.
And then the third time would be, you know, right after the gifts are being brought to the altar and we do, you know, like, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. And then the priest washes his hands. Right before the priest says, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, right before we do that, that prayer, I think it's an opportune time, and I've seen bishops do this, to just say to everybody, we're now moving into the second part of the liturgy, and we're now going to present to the Lord these simple gifts of bread and wine, and we're going to ask Him to send His Spirit to transform them into that which is most precious to Him, namely His Son. And I want to encourage us to block out all distractions and to be as attentive as we can to what is about to take place. Namely, God is about to come into our midst. And that's it. Could be that.
Beautiful. Now, here's the thing. No Catholic who goes to Mass every week, even if they go every day, is going to be bothered by you saying that, reminding people. In fact, they're going to go, thank you for reminding me. And thank you for helping other people know this, because it breaks our heart when visitors come and they go to Mass and they go, I don't even know what this part is about. Okay. Mm-hmm. So nobody's going to be bothered by that. Two, the people that are new are going to be like, this is amazing. Now, maybe not all of them, but if even 2 or 3 dozen people are just like, I had no idea. There will be Catholics there that haven't done Mass in years and said, why didn't anybody ever really explain it that way? You know, Father, I love this saying, what's assumed is most important. Mm. And there's so many things. And Chris, you can tell us this. You've known Catholics your whole life. And so when somebody finally explains something, it's like, well, why didn't you tell me that? And they're like, well, I thought you knew.
Well, that's as somebody who's been coming in, though, a priest underestimating how few of us out there actually understand all this can't be oversaid. Those little reminders for me are critical to understanding. And as I've brought my family in and out at different times, none of them, I mean, I'm studying, I'm reading because I'm interested. They're not studying or reading, and friends have come. They don't know. And those little reminders, especially for those of us who might be there and we're getting ready to receive, or we're there and we know we can't, why not? And that little reminder of like, this is a special moment. This is something different than anything else.
So that, I love that you just said that, because that's the other thing, Father, about this. And I don't know what you think about doing it at this point or waiting till later, but that is the context. Like if I were, I brought a really well-known Protestant evangelical person who's thinking about joining the Catholic Church to Mass with me one day, daily Mass. Chris, you came with me. And he, who knows the faith and everything else, and that's how he's been reading about the Church Fathers and he's drawn to the Mass. He said, how come I can't receive? And we had him go talk to the priest afterward. That's the big question. How come I can't receive? Now, for most of these people, all they know is when communion comes, people go, if you're not Catholic or if you're not in a state of grace, cross your arms. And people go, I don't know what that means.
Right.
But when you explain that we believe this and this is what's about to happen, you could say, and that's why we're not trying to exclude anybody or make you feel unwelcome here. But the receiving of the Eucharist is for those of us who have understood this and professed our belief in it. And we would love it if other people were interested in learning more. But the reason we're not trying to exclude you because we don't like you, we're trying to say that this is reserved for that. And at least that seems to be more palatable than just you don't get to receive. Because most of my Protestant friends go, I can't believe you guys don't let me receive. And then I have to go explain to them what the Eucharistic means and the real presence and all that kind of stuff. So what do you think, Father? Where would you do it?
So I don't think anything's palatable. At least that's my experience. So half my family's evangelical. I've taught for 30 years, people coming into the church. This is so challenging to put into a soundbite for words. That's my experience as to why some should come and should not come. The way I say it, and I do it right after I receive, before everybody comes forward in communion. I do it at every wedding, every funeral, and I would do it at Christmas and Easter.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
It's intentionally not sharp, but I want you to come talk to me. But it's simply this. At this point, I would invite my brothers and sisters who are Catholic and who are prepared to receive the Lord in communion to come forward to receive. And if we have any with us today who are either not Catholic or who are not prepared to receive the Lord in communion, I invite you to come forward for a blessing and to do it by crossing your hands like so. And if you'd like to talk to me more after Mass, I'd love to talk to you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's it. So there's some things about that. One, I don't have time to go into
right.
a long explanation, and I want to use the word invite. So I'm inviting you to come forward either to receive, or I'm inviting you to come forward for a blessing so that I'm not telling you to stay away. It still is challenging, my experience anyway, for most people because they're thinking, why? And I think the reason for that is because communion in many, not all, but in many non-Catholic churches is primarily about hospitality. And it's not right. for us. It's an act of integrity. But you don't have the time to get into all that at Mass.
No, exactly.
So you can print something maybe if you've got a bulletin, you know, for Christmas or a special program for Christmas, which by the way, would be worth thinking about doing just because you got so many people who don't know what's going on. But that's how I would say it right before communion.
Chris.
So I have a question actually for both of you being new coming in, because I feel like we live in a environment, maybe particularly in America, where a lot of even people who've been in the Catholic, it's become so traditional, not in the good sense, but routine. This is what we've always done. And they don't even actually believe all the things that they, you know, do they believe it's even in transubstantiation? I think I see stats about how that's more and more Catholics don't even believe that. And so I just wonder, why wouldn't a priest every particular, I would say Sunday, especially for a Christmas mass, why wouldn't you every time in light of an environment where people don't know, forgot, or outright just don't believe, why wouldn't a priest just assert the truth of that every time to their parish in that context?
Before Father answers that, I want to add something to this, Chris. That might be a hard thing to do at Christmas, but they probably should start doing that regularly so more Catholics can explain it to others and they can understand it themselves. Because I don't think even most Catholics realize, gee, I haven't been to confession in a long time. I've committed some really big sins, but I haven't confessed them yet. Or even a lot of people don't know, I missed Mass without any good reason last week. You're supposed to go to confession before you receive communion. And so there, I think we don't even know how to educate our Catholics to do that. And I think trying to do that to people at Christmas Mass might be a little edgy. But I love the way Father did it, because he said, hey, if you're not prepared or you're not Catholic, I love that he also said, I invite you to come talk to me. I would love to explain this to you sometime.
Totally.
Go ahead, Father. Now, I just wanted to soften it up.
I would agree with both of you. I think what I would say is this, that as a pastor, hopefully, over time, I've gotten to know the people that I'm entrusted with shepherding. And I'm realizing there are probably some things that are worth my taking time on Sunday, because that's the only captive audience I have, on Sunday teaching. And one of those things, given the statistics you just alluded to, Chris, and you know any pastor who knows what's going on in a parish, one of those things is probably to start talking about the Eucharist over a series of weeks. So rather than an announcement, I'm going to preach on it for 4 or 5 weeks. I want to explain to you, I want us together to understand more deeply what this gift is, why it is that we should only receive in this condition, so that we can be in the know, but also so that we can speak more intelligibly to our brothers and sisters who either aren't Christian or who aren't Catholic, who have questions, so that we can help them. Because they're not going to talk to me, they're going to talk to you. So I'm going to do that rather than an announcement. I'm going to take 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to preach on it.
Okay. So I think that's good. I think that would be a lot to bite off for Christmas Mass, especially in
Exactly.
or Easter Mass, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. So here's the deal, Father and Chris and everybody listening. So what we've just said is take 2 minutes before the liturgy of the Eucharist to explain to them the grandeur and the power of what is going on. And that this is where this happens. This is the most amazing thing. And then hopefully welcome them at the beginning in that way, before the readings do that. So all of this takes 2 or 3 minutes.
All right. Yes.
My question is this, for all the priests that are listening, they're going to be saying Mass at Christmas. What might be the reason why they don't do this? Like what might they be thinking like, I don't know. And help us, Father, like what would be, let's overcome any objections that a priest might have to doing this.
So we've talked offline a little bit. I think some guys assume that people know this, although I actually don't think most guys assume anything. I think most people assume people don't know anything.
Right.
But maybe some people assume wrongly that everybody here is in the know. I think some people might probably be afraid that, why is he telling us this? Like, this isn't that important, or I already knew that, or there's no need to do that. When in fact, I think you said earlier, man, if I heard that every Mass, I'd be so grateful. It wouldn't be an inconvenience. I think the biggest issue for many guys is they're so concerned with kind of like playing loose with the liturgy that they don't want to do something that just isn't appropriate. And so that's what they're afraid of. Is this appropriate or not?
And you've confirmed for us that it is.
I think it is. I think you can certainly do it before Mass. So you could do this whole thing of the 2 minutes before we even walk down the aisle, Or you could do it during the liturgy. I've seen a bishop do it who I respect greatly. And I've seen a lot of people do it. And when it's done beautifully, and when it's done especially as not as all about me, it's all about you.
Right.
I want you to feel at home here and to understand what's going on. And I think you can do this quickly. I think it's really spectacular. And it makes everybody go, I'm so grateful you said something.
What about if they said, because so I think that's great, because I have no sense that this is not, and we've talked to priests, and I've been to a regular mass before where a priest stopped right before consubstantiation and said, here's what's about to happen. And so maybe you're not supposed to do it right then, but I was like, oh, that's so great. And my kids were just like, whoa, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but the way we've just presented it, it seems pretty safe, pretty darn safe. Maybe a priest says, I don't know how to use the right words.
Well, we just recorded them, transcribed the podcast.
Okay, so they could just say what you said, which is
beautiful. I think it is, you know, my encouragement, I know we're going to talk about preaching too, but I think if you just ask the Lord, Lord, how can I say this as a with the heart of a father to my guests, especially, not only, but especially to those who are visiting, help me to understand what, and you might want to talk to somebody like Chris. We've all got people in our parish like a Chris who just came into the church, whether it was last Easter or whether it was last November, and go, what would have been helpful for you to have heard on a night like tonight to have made you feel more at home?
Right. You know what? Something just occurred to me, Father. You could also just do this during your homily.
Yes, you
could. I mean, you could say, hey, now that I'm done with my homily, I just want to say we're about to enter a part of the Mass, and I want to tell you about that. That would be very easy. Let's talk about homilies at Christmas Mass. I have a very strong opinion. We had a fun debate around this. It was fun. I think make them short. Please make them short. Please make, on behalf of all the people that are bringing other people to Mass who don't usually go to church, on behalf of the people who don't usually go to church, make them short. And here's why. It's not because Mass is too long. It's because I want them to remember what was said. And as you said, Father, you give us your thoughts about preaching, but when it's short and it's from the heart, people remember it and it really changes them. Go ahead.
Chris, jump in. I want to hear your thought.
I think my feeling on the homily is there's a lot of people, I will say in general, who are just not great speakers or teachers. And then you think of the priest. I don't know how the stats break down, but being a great public speaker with a broader audience is difficult. And I think one of the things that overcomes that is authenticity. And so when somebody, even if they're not great, just speaks from the heart in a short, with a short thought, but it's authentic. And as a priest, I'm assuming you're praying and discerning what does the Lord want me to say? When you could say that in 3 minutes, and it's authentic from the heart, it covers all kinds of technical things that I think can sometimes get in the way of a long, you know, I don't want to say priests are sometimes fumbly, but I'm assuming my priest is, if he's listening, is never fumbles through a homily. I've never heard him do that ever. So, but others, I'm assuming there's others out there. So,
okay, Chris, what you just said echoes a lot of what Father said earlier. So I want to hear how Father describes this.
So I'll say a couple things. One, I'll tell you, My generic advice to most guys when I'm working with them on preaching in general, and then how I experience preaching, because I think that's how a number of guys that I know experience it. So a great mentor of mine when I was in the seminary gave advice that I try to pass along to guys all the time. And the advice is simply this: brothers, the only single reason you should ever preach is because you have a word from the Lord. If you don't, he said, then skip the homily and go to the creed. And I think that is spot on. And so whether that's a minute, 3 minutes, 20 minutes, but if I don't have anything from you, Lord, to say to this family, then I have no business talking, because this isn't about me telling stories, entertaining, making you laugh. This is about what should be the fruit of my prayer over these readings, what the Lord's saying to me, and what I think he's saying to us as a family and to the guests who are here. That's the generic advice.
I love that. And you know something? This takes me right back to that young man who did that podcast. People don't come to a Catholic mass and go, oh, you know, they're doing, like Chris said, he went to evangelical services and oftentimes the talk is 40 minutes. I've actually delivered them. I was invited to evangelical churches to provide the homily, which was just a talk. And that's not what draws them. Mm-mm. And so 3 minutes of authentic from the heart about what God is calling you to say, and then the rest of the mass is actually attracting people to the Catholic Church. And so it's so good that you give people permission to do that. As it turns out, people are leaving a lot of these evangelical churches because it feels like they have to be funny and it has to be entertaining and they have to add things to that. And people are saying, that's not what I'm looking for.
Now, let me add this, two things. One is, I think we often make a mistake in the church. We say things like, so even though the homily was pathetic, you still got the Eucharist. And there's truth to that. Because to what we've talked about before and what everybody knows, not only public speaking is rare, but homilies tend not to be a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. Most homilies are just not very good. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think the most basic reason for that is I don't think guys are actually praying, asking the Lord, what do you want me to say? Because if you had something to say, it wouldn't have anything to do with technique. People would know this is a word from the Lord for us.
Right. And some people, it's just a struggle for some people. That's okay. We have different charisms.
It's the biggest fear that most people have is standing in front of a room speaking.
Right.
So
right.
I totally get that. But if you're up there going, well, but my job isn't to be speaking to them. It's to communicate a word that the Lord has given to me in prayer. And that's what I'm sharing with you.
So do you think on a Christmas mass, Father John, a typical priest feels pressure to talk longer because there's a bigger audience?
I think they do. And it should be the opposite. That's not the time to make it longer.
Yeah, they might. I don't know if they feel more pressure to be longer. I think they probably feel more pressure to be polished. I've got a full church and everybody's dressed up and I hope I have something impressive to say.
That's a great point.
Whatever. And it's not about that. It's about, Lord, what is it that you want to say? So living in this culture that's super anxious, super, super fearful, super angry right now, lost, confused, battling depression, do you think the Lord who became man out of love for us so that he could rescue us from death and sin and hopelessness and Satan might have a word he wants to deliver to his people this Christmas? That's how I would pray.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Beautiful. And we're going to close this down because we don't want this to go. We're talking about adding 2 minutes or 3 minutes and we're about at 30. So we want to stop. That's a beautiful, I love that final word about the preaching. Just be it, make it authentic, make it from your heart, pray about it. And it's not about polish. It's not. And that's what people are being drawn to, the authenticity of the mass and the depth. Father, thank you for being on with us. Chris, thank you for being on. Welcome to the church. Father, Chris, Merry Christmas. And yeah, we Merry pray, Christmas. God bless all the priests and people listening to this. And we pray that 2 or 3 minutes added could bring more people to know you and the truth of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next time on Upstream. God bless.